to Sweet Kicks with Bricks, the show which helps you decide if a game is worth spending your hard-earned money on or a try before you buy. Now here's your host, Barry Ricks.
Hey guys, welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. I am Barry Ricks, and today's Kickstarter highlight is Post-Human, and I have one of the masterminds behind the game and getting it out to the public. I have Sean Brown with us. How's it going?
Hey, Barry. How are you? Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for joining me today, and hopefully maybe we'll have someone else join us a little bit later. David, one of the designers, and see if we can add him in when the time comes. But Sean, why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself and what you do for the game?
Okay, my name is Sean Brown, and I am the president of Mr. B Games here based in the United States out of Denver, Colorado, Aurora, Colorado, to be technical, suburb of Denver. I've been making games for, I don't know, about 10 years, pretty close to, on my own or back on my own again as Mr. B Games. This would be the second time I've gone back out on my own to make games in this current version or iteration I've been publishing for about the last 2 years.
Cool. Well, that's awesome. And so the people that were getting Post-Human, getting ready to go, they approached you and you're like, hey, this is a pretty cool game. Let's get it published type of situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually working on a post-apocalyptic type game. It was very rough. It was in the very, very early stages. And David, who's the co-project coordinator with me, who's hopefully will be joining us here on the call pretty soon, he had reached out to me and pitched me a little bit about Post-Human, and I read it and immediately got back to him and said, can I check out the rule book? Like, this looks awesome. And read through the rules, and I was just like, within a matter of a few minutes, like, send me a prototype. I got to play this, you know? I was hooked basically from, you know, a two-paragraph email and a couple of pictures that he sent me. And
hey, David's joining us.
So just hello, like Dad. That, almost like clockwork. How's it going, David?
That's right. How's it going, David? Thanks for joining the show. And Sean was just telling us about you know, his experience meeting you guys and getting a Post-Human developed.
Oh, so he told you lots of good stuff about us, right?
So far, yeah. So far, it's all good. So. So David, since you're here and I appreciate you being here, I know you're actually, you know, busy at the moment, but why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you are, your involvement with getting Post-Human developed?
All right. So me personally, I've been doing board games for about, I think, 2 years now. And Then We Held Hands, which was the print and play Golden Geek winner of last year.
Awesome.
And that was probably my first sort of like release out to the people, you know. But you do lots of things at home which you never show to anyone, apart from that. And then from then on, I started doing my own things. And I have two games which are coming out Essen this year. One from Artipia and another one from Ludi Creations, which is actually the commercial version of the print and play of last year. About last year, at the end of last year, October, I knew the guys at Mighty Box were working on a board game, and they asked me to come in and help them look at the board game and maybe help them out with to bring it to Kickstarter and also to develop it, right? So I looked at Post-Human, I played it, and I said, oh yeah, heck yeah, I want to be involved with this. Okay, bring
it
on.
This is the game I like, let's do this.
Yeah, let's do this. And then essentially I took on the project, I started developing it, helping them with testing and bringing it to the quality that we managed to bring it on till now. And in the meantime, I started scouting for publishers, and that's how I met Sean. I sent him an email one day with like a picture, like a poster of the art we had done, because we had, by the time we approached Sean, we had already done quite a significant amount of the art. We had already commissioned and worked inside and then done lots of the graphic design already. The game was pretty much ready when I pitched it to Sean, right, Sean?
Yeah,
and I sent him that, and I sent him like that, like a sheet, an abridged sheet of what the game is, and within, I think, I don't know, half an hour. We had a Skype meeting arranged, and
you sent it to Sean, and then Sean was like, "Okay, this is good. Let's just talk right away."
Yeah. I sent it to Sean. He said, "Okay, yeah. When can we talk?" I think.
Well, that's cool. That's really cool.
Can you do it?
Well, so that's kind of how it got started. Why don't you guys tell us a little bit about what Post-Human is, kind of the feeling, the genre, and kind of the gameplay involved with Post-Human. So whoever wants to take that, Sean or David. Oh, it's just silence all around. So David, since you're kind of were involved with designing and developing the game, why don't you you tell us a little bit about kind of the feel and how the game plays?
I think we lost him, mate.
Oh no, did we lose David?
Yeah, because I was trying to think, like, usually he's pretty good about popping in there, but I feel like we lost him, and then I was like, wow. Oh,
hey guys, you still there?
Oh. Yeah, are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I kept on talking, and it seems to have put it on hold. So I kept on talking, telling you what I was saying, and then I realized that you're not there anymore for like 3 minutes. Sorry about that.
You did a good job talking, and then you went blank for a second. But I was asking, since you're back, how does Post-Human? What kind of gameplay is it, and kind of the feel of the game?
Well, I think what immediately attracted me to Post-Human was the sort of solitary journey feel that it had, right? Because you start off as a lone soul human trying to get to this rumored fortress, and I think the thing that it replicates really well is this sort of, for me, the loneliness and solitude that there is through going on a journey on your own. And trying to encounter these all new people and trying to make them help you, but always to your own sort of benefit, right? You need to come out winner from your trades in a way. It has this sort of being your own boss feel and kind of sort of making sure that you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
This is something which I really liked, and Gordon, I think, really wanted to put it in there. Not that it's not, then it's actually, then it comes out as actually quite a bit of fun, a lot of fun, when you're encountering all of these different things and you're trading with other people. But you have a feeling of you on your own, being your own boss, managing yourself, and trying as far as you can to get to that rumored fortress at the end, and really trying hard. So there's the hunger mechanic. There's the survival. There's the sort of the scars that are hitting you as you go, and you're trying to ignore them. And there's an emotional stress, right, for that comes about with you being on your own, that the game manages to actually incorporate in the gameplay. And that was quite fascinating when I saw it the first time.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. It's really cool when you can involve psychology into a game, and just if you're going to be alone trying to survive in this post-apocalyptic world, you're going to have to try to keep your sanity definitely on your travels.
Exactly. And that really came out. Well, the first time I played it, I told Gordon, I told him, man, that really comes through, that shines through so well, that sort of psychological stress that one has to go through. Not only just the fighting, I mean, the fighting is there and it's well done, but there are so many other layers that come through, so many other emotions that come through the gameplay that I just hadn't seen before. And that's what attracted it to me the most, I think.
That's cool. So Sean, when Post-Human was sent to you, what was one of those key elements that made you just love the game?
Well, like I said, as soon as I got the package, I had already read the rules, so I already had a really good idea of how the game was going to work. First thing I did is I just went to my table. I mean, literally, I got it in the mail pretty early in the morning. I went to my table, I just opened the contents, set it up, and said, I'm going to play it. Right?
Because I'm just going to do it right now.
Because it can play solo, and and I'm here. I'm at the office, right? There's nothing else to do today. Actually, there's millions of things to do, but I'd much rather play a game. So
there you go.
I literally set it up, and I played it solo. And I played, half a journey, right? I don't know, 5 or 6 points on the journey marker.
Okay.
Because I wanted to get a feel for it. And so I wanted to understand it. And then my idea was I was going to call my local group that I test stuff with, and I was going to get them together and test it, right, so I could see all elements. And I do this all the time when I play test a prototype. So, like, if I request a prototype, I always play through a few turns to get a feel, so to make sure I understand it, and then I want to play it in a group setting to really make a decision. But yeah. I got to tell you, within two or three turns, I was having so much fun. By the time I hit my usual mandatory, I'm going to stop now, I just kept playing it out.
Just kept going. Well, that's a definitely a good sign for any game when you just you keep on going even when you usually stop.
Oh, yeah. And what was great was I remember, you know, I did that and I immediately took it to play. And we played it with three guys in the group, so four of us, which at the time it was, you know, that was all we could play. You know, we didn't have five and six available. That all came much later in stretch goals. But at the time, it was going to be a four-player game. So we played a four, and everybody playing wanted to play. One guy had to leave, so we immediately played a three-player game right after, which the test group, I played lots of stuff with them. So, you know, they rarely want to play the same thing right away.
Again, after you're done playing the first time.
Yeah, and then we wound up, somebody else had to leave, and we wound up playing a two-player. So we played literally like three games of it at game night.
Nice.
And I got a hold of David the next day, and I was like, it's phenomenal. Like, usually, as a developer, I have lots of insight or different things to add to a game, or I say, hey, what about if you do this?
Yeah.
I didn't really have anything, and I had a couple of really minor ideas that I threw to David. David communicated them to Gordon. Gordon's a machine, crunched all the numbers and the math to see if it was possible, basically came back a week or two later and was like, yep, I incorporated those changes, and it inspired me to do three other things. They sent me those changes, and it made the game over the top. And it was like, oh, yeah, we're on to something major, you know?
Well, that's really cool. And as of today, when we're talking, you guys still have 18 days left to go on the Kickstarter. The Kickstarter officially ends on April 24th. And, I mean, you guys are doing awesome. You're well past your funding goal, so congratulations on that already.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And you guys you've reached over 15 stretch goals as well. So that's amazing in itself. So it's really cool because I'm on Kickstarter every single day, especially for the podcast, searching out new things. And rarely do you actually have people that the quantity of backers that you have. I mean, sure, you have games that have met or even surpassed the amount of money you've guys made, but the amount of backers you have is actually a testament to how people are excited about this game. I mean, you have over 2,300 backers, and that's awesome. Sometimes people don't even make it to that 1,000 mark, but they're already, you know, they still get the game made and it's fully funded. But we see the excitement that these people have for the game. And I imagine that's got to be you guys are pretty stoked about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we set out when we were looking for that 27,000 mark. That was the goal. And the goal was that would be enough for us to do a really small print run. And
you're well past that. And like you said, the game was originally supposed to be just four players, but because of all the momentum and the backing that you've received, it's now up to six players. Correct?
Yeah. Gordon just had some. I mean, he's a machine. He had some brilliant designs, and he had all kinds of. He built the system to be modular so that it could, you know, hold up to more cards, more events. You know, and theoretically more characters. So it took us a while to get to those because, you know, Gordon and the whole Mighty Box team are very, 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 very particular, right? They don't want to add something just for the sake of adding. And so everything has to be thoroughly tested. And I respect
meticulous is a word you could put there.
Yeah.
I mean, if you see Gordon's spreadsheet, right? If you see, we call it the Bible. It's a huge, huge spreadsheet with, like, I don't know, 20 different books in it, and all of these are linked with some equation. All of these are kind of linked from one to another. And if you change a value there, you can see everything changing everywhere else, and what the other cards need to be. I'm telling you, the way Gordon builds his card designs and the way he makes them, and the way he kind of sort of ties everything together, I was impressed. When
yeah,
I first
definitely.
Started, right? That was like, whoa, how do I understand this? And then when he tells you how it works, oh, okay, that's cool. Oh, wow. Oh, that's clever. You know, but when you see it the first time, you're like, holy wow. What's this? Whoa.
That's awesome. And you guys still have one stretch goal that you have yet to unlock, but I mean, you guys almost have a good half plus of a month left, and you guys are already really close to it. So I think you guys are going to meet that last stretch goal and then some before this project is over. So that's pretty exciting as well.
You know what's funny, Barry, is like when we originally planned it, I think we planned out like 4 or 5 stretch goals. and David and I laugh about this all the time because we're like, what if this thing goes crazy, right? Like, what if it goes insane? What if people just freak out and want post-human? And what if, like, we need, like, 10 stretch goals? Like, I mean, like, that was our wild, like, it could happen.
Ten was your cap, and then you're like, oh, well, now we're over past, we're past 15
well,
now.
5 was the cap, and 10 was the, like, pie in the sky, where we literally had, like, ideas written down on paper, like, well, maybe we could do this, maybe we could ask
what
to do this.
Type of situation.
Right? And, like, and they were like, if we get there, we'll figure it out, but let's not. Yeah, right? Can't count.
Let's not worry about that right now, right? This is all
exactly.
Going
like,
crazy.
Let's just hope we get our 30,000, right?
There you go. No, that's so cool, and it's really awesome, and it's just totally exciting, and you guys still have a ways to go, and that's really awesome. So congratulations on all that.
Thank you. And my hat's off to the Mighty Box team because, I mean, those guys literally every day are working on something for us for the next goal. And I know sometimes backers are like, are you going to maybe show us 2 this time? And, you know, the truth, the behind the curtain peek that we're all getting here is, we're generally working on whatever it is we're about to put up for you. Like,
yeah.
So when it pops up, it's because we're just started working on the next one. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly.
And it's the only way we can do it because it's, we just, you know, we need more than a day or 2 to prepare it, you know?
Definitely. So with all the, you know, expanding of the game and so forth, when do you hope to have the game out to the public and the backers? And has the stretch goals, you know, sometimes stretch goals add to the timeline? Or are you guys still on schedule to meet your original timeline?
You know, it's really important to us to kind of stick to that timeline. And we tried to build in, you know, some buffer time and some delay time and stuff like that. And, you know, we've had some wonderful suggestions from the community of backers, and some of them we just have to dismiss because they would absolutely push out that production time.
Yeah, definitely.
We're definitely trying to stick with stuff that we know we could actually pull off, you know?
Good. And when do you guys hope to have the game out to everybody?
We're targeting October.
October. So good fall release, maybe a good Christmas present for those people out there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and if we hit some kind of snag and deliveries late or something, then it's still November and still Christmassy, you know?
Yeah, well, and generally I feel that people understand. I definitely understand when, it, you know, sometimes you run into those little snafus, whether it's, you know, printing went wrong, or like you said, shipping is an issue. And so, like you said, have that buffer time. But having it within the year that the Kickstarter ends is phenomenal to me, because sometimes you have those Kickstarters that you don't see it for a long time.
Yeah,
and,
it's
exciting that we're going to get it within the year that the backing was finished.
That's a really important thing to me personally and to, you know, my company, Mr. B Games, and to Mighty Box, is that we actually, you know, deliver what we promise and try to do it, you know, on time or relatively, you know, a month or 2 late on the possible most outshot. And you can't plan on everything. There's just certain things. Like my one of my projects for a game I did called Spurs actually sat in the harbor of Los Angeles for almost 2 months. It was here.
Yeah.
I could see it. I actually was out in California, and I'm like, what can I do to speed up customs or whatever? And they were just like, look, it's just the way it is, right? There's hundreds of boats in front of you, right?
Yeah.
And they're all waiting to do the same thing you are. And,
that's
it just happens, right? We had a workflow in the dock strikes, and It affected lots of game companies, lots of manufacturers of goods across the country.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, and that's what I hope people understand. Sometimes things happen, but it's still pretty exciting. So, Sean, David, why don't you tell us a little bit about where people can find out maybe more of Posthuman, or maybe a little bit more about you guys and the companies you work for?
So, obviously the Kickstarter is a great location for the page. Board Game Geek to learn a little more about the game. My website, MrBGames.com, and Mighty Box's website as well, which David knows the address.
Yeah, MightyBoxGames.com. Yeah, we have a
blog there you go.
Now with updates for Posthuman.
Oh, sorry about that. So
it's MightyBoxGames.com, and we have. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, you're cutting out just a little bit.
Oh, okay, sorry. So it's MightyBoxGames.com, and we have a blog set up there with Posthuman news and news for all of our games, which, teaser, there might be, we are working on something digital that has to do with Posthuman, right?
Cool.
An expansion into the digital realm. And it's not
That's cool.
Necessarily a port of the board. So it's not necessarily a port of the board game per se, but whatever, it's going to be really cool. It's going to be really cool. I like it a lot.
Awesome. Well, stay tuned, everyone, for more news of that. So, David, Sean, thank you once again for being on the show. I know it's especially with the success that you've had with the Kickstarter, it can be pretty hectic, but I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to be on the show today.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us.
No problem. And thanks to Dan Patrice for our intro and outro. And you can find him at the Geek All Stars. And just remember to back your projects wisely.
Thanks for listening to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. If you'd like to mail the show, send any questions, comments, or interview requests to sweetkickswithbricks@gmail.com. Sweet Kicks with Bricks is a Closet Geek Studios production. For more information on The Closet Geek, please head to closetgeek.net.